Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We had a news avalanche yesterday. We really did. We got a local teacher teaching a lesson on naughty words. That's my interpretation of this story. I have a lot to say about this story. It's a very interesting one. We've got people who are very, very, understandably, very, very upset about the horrible traffic out the back gate of NAS Pensacola because they can't get into the neighborhoods. You remember when the base wasn't open to people and we couldn't get on the base and we were complaining about the fact that we couldn't get on the base? Anybody? Anyway. How dare you take away the food? How dare you give the food? I mean, you know, but understandable. If you live in that area, it'd be pretty frustrating. You know, I get it. You know, we hate having the schools closed and on remote learning. We hate having the schools open because now the traffic. But I mean, you know, okay, both are can be true. And so how do you solve it? Well, you know, we'll talk about it. And then, holy smokes, I don't know how many pages of legal documents I read yesterday. But, you know, my son comes to me yesterday at about 1 o'clock. One son comes in, what are you making for lunch? And I'm like, I don't know yet, I'm working on it. Another son comes in, what are you making for lunch? I don't know, I'm working on it. And the same son comes back like half hour, Dad, what are you making for lunch? I'm like, leave me alone, I'm reading documents. I'm taking phone calls. I'm trying to figure out what's going on today because there's so much. Here's the shortest possible version of this. Pam Childers won and the county commissioners were stupid. Wrong. Wrong. No, that's uncharitable. They were incorrect. And, you know, we say county commissioners, but it's not all of them. You know, sometimes votes are split. And you may recall that Doug Underhill opposed this plan, the idea of letting the commissioners participate in a plan that pays them directly all of the benefits into an account that they would get later, as opposed to paying the FRS system, of which they would get a small slice and the rest would go to the system. Now, this is a long history on this story, but he opposed it. Mike Kohler opposed it. Commissioner Bender was the one who brought it to light, sort of. And I actually credit Robert because, you know, when he signed up into the system as a newly elected official, he opted for, he didn't even know how lucrative it was. Like, he signed up for it thinking, oh, well, this sort of makes more sense. And then later on, when he got the percentage, he's like, well, that's not right. You guys, that cannot be the percentage, right? And they said, oh, no, no, it is. He said, oh, nice. And then at re-election time, Commissioners Barry and May found the financial disclosure forms for Robert Bender and saw how much money he had in his retirement account and how much money they did not have by comparison in their retirement accounts. And they're like, what the? And said, I want me some of that money. Give me some of that money. So they literally went to the Stephen Barry took the county attorney, Allison Rogers, to the Commission on Ethics in Florida and said, now, normally, I know you wouldn't let me vote to give myself $250,000. I mean, ordinarily, you don't allow that, right? Because, like, you know, payment for commissioners is kind of set by statute, and you don't get to vote yourself a pay increase. So I know you wouldn't normally let me. And besides, you know, normally you wouldn't let an employee vote on their own, you know, HR issue. You know, you typically, an employee would have to sue the county, and there would have to be an adversarial relationship, and the person getting the benefit wouldn't be the one allowed to make the decision to grant the benefit. But no, Stephen Barry went to the, you know, county, the Commission on Ethics and said, I would like to vote for myself to resolve this dispute, $250,000 in back pay. I mean, you can just write a check if you like, and make up to me how you didn't tell me enough about this plan up front, and even though I'm a you know, I'm a financial planner guy. I didn't understand it, so I picked the wrong plan. And then tried to bring that before, and they said yes. That's amazing to me. The Ethics Commission, they get things right and they get things wrong, okay? I don't know how it's so possible for an agency to be, because I have seen a case just recently, just yesterday, that they got so completely right that it's almost amazing, and then they get this case so completely wrong that it's amazing. But they said sure. And then he comes back here to, you know, little Pensacola, and he tries to get the county commission to agree with him to vote for $250,000 for him in back pay and $250,000 for Lumen May in back pay for them failing to opt into the more lucrative program that Robert Bender had opted into. And that became a massive discussion. And then they sort of backed off and said, well, okay, fine. I mean, we're not going to do this. So they never actually voted for it, even though I think they probably would have gotten 3 votes. Doug Underhill raised a stink about it, and they backed off because the public said, you're going to do what now? Okay, that's the history of it. And then Pam Childers comes along and says, yeah, I don't think I can even pay you now. I mean, the back pay issue was never got brought to a vote, but the issue of ongoing pay into this system, I don't think I can pay that because that looks like a pay increase. And you can't vote yourselves a pay increase. And they said we can, and she said you can't. And they said we can, and she said, well, I'm not writing the checks. And they said, oh, really? And we'll take you to court. And she said, okay, not only am I not writing the checks for the, like, same amount as you would get in the FRS, I think it's 14%, but I'm not going to write the checks at all. Like, I just don't think this system is allowed. So she was writing them 0% checks. They took her to court, and there was a long series of issues, and eventually the court came back and said, yeah, she's right, and you guys are totally wrong. In fact, the court in this case went out of its way to tell them they were wrong. Like, it didn't actually have to go so far in what it wrote in the opinion, but the court writes, the court finds that the resolution of this case depends primarily on 2 questions. Is it lawful for elected officials, county commissioners, to participate in the local plan? That's the ICMA or the 401A. You've heard it called various things. It's the get-rich-fast plan, which, again, I just want to make sure, every time we talk about this, you have to say this. If they're getting, say, 58% of their salary, and that's, yeah, like that, if they're getting 58% of their salary put into a retirement fund, that looks like an awful lot of money that the county's paying. But it's the same amount of money the county would have been paying into FRS. It's just that they would have only been getting like the, you know, much, much lower amount in their personal account. Okay, so the county's not spending more money. The county's just giving them a much, like all of it, 100% share instead of a much smaller percent share of the money. And the court said, does constitute unlawful compensation. Sorry. If it is lawful for elected officials to participate in the local plan, does such participation constitute unlawful compensation? And it answered both questions in the no. It's not lawful. And it is a pay increase. And it was kind of interesting because if you read the thing, and I did read it all yesterday, and there's a lot of nuanced particulars in the legal analysis here. I'm not going to get into all of it. But although this is my favorite line, although the court could end its inquiry here, in other words, saying that the county commissioners cannot participate in this plan, and Pam Childers is right in not paying for them to participate in this plan, although the court could end its inquiry here, the court resolves the additional disputed question of whether, I'm saying, not quoting now, whether this constitutes an unconstitutional, unlawful increase in salary. And here's some of the lines. Although the county maintains the participation in the local plan does not constitute compensation for the commissioners, the court finds otherwise, based on definitions of the term compensation, testimony, and other evidence produced at trial, and Section 145.131 Florida statutes, the county is wrong. I add emphasis. As the clerk asserted during its written closing argument, if local commissioners are able to vote themselves increases in compensation beyond that set by general law, the purpose of the constitutional restriction would be negated by allowing public officials to go to do indirectly what they clearly are not allowed to do directly. In sum, the court finds that the county's contributions to the local plan on behalf of the county commissioners constitute unlawful compensation. Case closed. Done. You can't do this. You voted yourself a pay raise. Now, these county commissioners were not the ones who put this plan in place. Okay? They aren't. The plan was in place before. But these county commissioners took advantage of it And when the clerk of the court and comptroller, Pam Childers, said, what? You can't do this. They said, we can. And we're going to sue you over it. Because we believe that getting an extra 40% of our annual salary paid to us this way is fine, is good, is normal. Okay. So what's the fallout from all of this? A couple of thoughts. Number one, they lost all of their retirement benefits for the last, what, 4 years worth or so? 3 years worth? I don't know. I don't think they, I think if I saw a line in there that said that the things that were already paid don't have to be unpaid. Okay. But, you know, for several years that they've been fighting this, they've been getting nothing. And they're going to get nothing. So Stephen Barry and Lumen May just lost a bunch of money. A lot of potential money, let's say. Robert Bender lost a bunch of potential money. And Jeff Bergosh was not in this system because he's got school board. And I know Doug Underhill was not in the system because he had military. And also on principle, he didn't think the system was appropriate. I don't believe Mike Kohler's in the system. I'm pretty sure he's not. But, you know, he was elected so recently since this all came up that I just don't think it affects him one way or the other. So now the question is, losing out on all this money, not just at the higher amount, but even at the lower amount that could have been in the FRS all these years. The question now is whether Stephen Barry is going to try to go get some of that money back somehow. You know, just go down to HR and be like, all right, you need to pay me for all these years that you didn't give me this money. Could he do that? I mean, he hasn't yet, but he could. Would that be legal? Well, you know, legal is what you get away with, right? He opted for this other. He opted for the gamble, and he lost the gamble. And now what? Well, if you're going to go to the Commission on Ethics and get them to give you permission to write yourself a $250,000 check on back payment for a decision you made before, why wouldn't you go to HR, let's say, and tell them, you know, hey, why don't you write me a check for this, and we just won't talk about it too much in public. Now, is that a check? Can they make distributions directly to their FRS? Would he have to buy back in? Would the clerk and comptroller even have a chance to check on this or not? I don't know the answers to all these questions. I'm just saying it's not beyond the realm of possibility to imagine that that might be attempted, given everything else that has happened. They're going to talk today. The county commission has a meeting today. They're going to talk about a bunch of things. This isn't specifically on the agenda, but I'd be surprised it didn't come up. Because it's a pretty big decision. Now, that's not the only thing that happened yesterday. That's a big thing. And by the way, they may still appeal. Even though they got the, what you might, the legal term of art here is the definitive smackdown from the court. Courts can be overturned on appeals. But will they try that? Will it cost the county more time, you know, to pursue this more? Well, we'll see. We don't know. I mean, you know, that's up for them to decide. On the one hand, I'd be surprised if they didn't appeal because they put so much effort in so far and there's a lot of money at stake. You know, will they just sit back and say, you know, we were wrong, you were right, I'm sorry. It's an election year. We're all up for re-election and we don't want to look bad in election year. Again, time will tell. The one I haven't even had a chance to talk about today is Milton City Council member Mike Cusack also had a decision by not the Ethics Commission themselves, but like the recommendation to the Ethics Commission. It's like a preliminary deal. South Santa Rosa News publisher Romy White filed an ethics complaint against him for inappropriate use of his position to benefit himself, inappropriate use of his position to benefit somebody else, Scott Collins, the former city manager, and inappropriate use of information not available to the public to benefit himself or somebody else. And the preliminary investigation, which was very thorough, said, yeah, you definitely did number three. We think you also did. Well, we have probable cause to say number three. We have probable cause to say number one. We do not have probable cause to say number two. He says, I didn't do number one either, but I'll agree to number three if we basically agree to it. It's kind of a plea deal. It's not really the right term, but that's sort of a plea deal. And I'll pay a $1,500 fine. And as long as the Ethics Commission approves this, that's all there is to it. This is all over the text messages and the what influence he had over the hiring process. The basic takeaway is that he sabotaged the negotiations by trying to give Scott Collins more money than Alex Andrade was offering him. There's a lot of backstory to this, but this was also a complete smackdown of Mike Cusack. Also, he did not disclose all of his texts Even to the city to this day, it says so in the findings. So that looks like a sunshine violation to me. I mean, it is a sunshine violation, okay? And we've said this for as long as we've been talking about this, that he said, get a court order. Well, here, look, a court. Well, not a court. The investigative arm of the Ethics Commission. So, like I said, I spent a lot of time reading yesterday. There's a lot of court cases out there that are relevant here to local news. And I didn't even play the fun Milton drama music. Because, no, wait, there's more. But, you know, we'll get to it throughout the day. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up. This message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bud. Wines. Bud. Bud. Wines. Bud. Wines. Bud. Bud. Wines.
Oh, hello, Mr. Soul. I dropped by to pick up a reason
for the thought. Music from an era. I've been listening to some Buffalo Springfield lately. It's some good stuff, really. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Emergency crews are still trying to reach hundreds of people in need of rescue after that big earthquake in Taiwan this week. Taiwan's National Fire Agency says nearly 700 people are believed to still be stranded in some of the hardest hit areas. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money case has rejected the former president's motion to delay the start of his criminal trial in New York. Trump had argued it needed to be delayed until the Supreme Court decides whether he's immune from prosecution for things he did while acting in his official capacity as president. And severe turbulence on a Southwest Airlines flight yesterday apparently left two people injured. There was a flight headed to Orlando from New Orleans. It had to be diverted to Tampa. The captain of the plane requested paramedics, be on standby, and apparently a passenger and a flight attendant had to be taken to a hospital after the plane landed.
Wow. All right. That sounds awful. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Governor DeSantis signed the food delivery service bill. Remember, this is the one that kind of limits DoorDash and Uber Eats to, first of all, have to have permission from the restaurant that they want to participate in this program. So you can't force a restaurant to be delivery service against their wishes. You can't resell their stuff at a higher price or at a lower price. Kind of interesting. They cannot intentionally inflate or deflate restaurant pricing, which you can understand in a way because, you know, you don't want them profiteering and you don't want them competing with, right, in a way. And, you know, if the restaurant doesn't want to participate. So kind of interesting. And also you have to itemize costs for customers. Like, there can't be just a grand total. You have to really tell people what they're spending by July of 2025.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Vice President Kamala Harris travels to the critical state of North Carolina.
Today will mark the vice president's fourth visit to North Carolina this year. The Biden-Harris campaign facing an uphill climb in North Carolina. A new Wall Street Journal poll shows former President Trump is leading in that state by 6 points. And Trump is also ahead in five other battleground states.
Fox's Brooke Singman. President Biden will connect with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over his military's airstrike that killed 7 aid workers in the World Central Kitchen in Gaza. Scary moments on a Southwest flight heading from New Orleans to Orlando hit with severe turbulence.
A flight attendant and passenger were injured and required medical treatment after landing. Radar showed intense storms over the Gulf of Mexico about halfway through the flight. Storms that affected Florida and the East Coast all day Wednesday as a cold front moved east.
Fox's Ted Lindner. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have mostly clear skies. It is 50 degrees in Pensacola. Well, some folks that live around Blue Angel Parkway say the traffic twice a week during Blue Angel practice days is causing them some issues.
Oh, we can't get home. The street's completely blocked. If you're coming from Blue Angel or Gulf Beach Highway, it's blocked for a half mile or more. And the only way we can get to our houses if we have to drop our kids off at school or something to that effect is to drive illegally. We have to drive on the shoulder next to the road.
And that resident talked with Channel 3 about the problem. She says they've routinely seen vehicles in lanes that don't exist, even on the grass on the side of the road. And she says she's worried that if there were some type of an emergency vehicle may not be able to get to a home in her neighborhood. County Commissioner Mike Kohler says he is looking into solutions. There is a meeting scheduled next week with the county, FDOT, Congressman Matt Gaetz' office, and the Sheriff's Department. And he says they'll be looking into what they can do to alleviate some of those traffic issues. An Okaloosa County judge has now ruled that Escambia County Clerk and Comptroller Pam Childers was right in withholding those retirement payments to county commissioners. In the 18-page ruling, Judge William Stone said that Childers had, quote, properly exercised discretion in ceasing to make the payments to the local plan. Back in 2022, Escambia County sued Childers on behalf of Commissioners Stephen Berry, Robert Bender, and Lumen May to force her to make the payments, which would amount to about 58% of their salary in taxpayer funds. Judge Stone concluded with the ruling that it's not lawful for elected officers to participate in the local plan. The county will likely appeal that ruling. Well, questions are being asked over a local teacher's practices in the classroom. Channel 3 reporting that photos taken last fall show a teacher next to a whiteboard with various spellings of the N-word. While some students say they've raised concerns to the district about that, local activist Ellison Bennett says he has filed a formal complaint.
We should not be using derogatory terms as a teaching tool. That's unacceptable. It is not something just happening, just going to go away. It made an impact on the children in that classroom.
And the school district says that teacher was disciplined and moved to a different class. And Marco Rubio says it's time to hold big tech accountable. He wrote yesterday on dailycaller.com that he wants to reform Section 230 and eliminate legal protections for social media companies. Rubio says current law allows market-dominant tech firms to engage in censorship and use algorithms to manipulate their users, especially kids. Rubio proposing a bill called the Discourse Act, which would allow Americans to sue tech firms for provable harm. He says the sooner that bill becomes law, the sooner we could restore free speech and protect the kids. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today, starting off on the cooler side in the 40s, warming up into the 70s by the afternoon. Overnight tonight, back in around 47 degrees. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 73 degrees. Friday night temperatures dropping near 48. We're going to keep that nice sunny weather around as we go into Saturday with a high near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 50 in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze, 48 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every Wednesday we get a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Well, not every Wednesday. It's actually been 2 weeks since we talked to him. He was off last week for a birthday and maybe other things as well, but didn't have a chance to talk to him last week. So welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. My first interview in my 40s. Here with you, Andrew.
Are you old enough now to be able to run for office, or old enough now to realize that, you know, maybe there's more to that decision than you realized?
Both. Yeah, all of the above.
Oh, man. I remember when I used to teach, I always wished I had a little bit of gray hair because people would take me seriously, and I still don't. So, you know, whatever. It just happens. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's start with, I mean, obviously the ransomware attack has been kind of the big story that everybody's reported on. The two main things I think we can say at this point is we still don't have answers. To the degree you have them, you still can't say, but you are taking protective measures on the possibility that people's information has been compromised. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. As of yesterday, we said, hey, look, even though there's not specific data, specific evidence that says this or that has been taken, obviously that's a whole other phase. But we're at the point now, as we did in 2019, where we said, hey, we're going to go ahead and start taking those protective measures, setting up some credit monitoring, toll-free number. That'll take a couple days, obviously, to get up and going. And then as we learn more, when and if, that we get specific data that we feel like has been breached, then everyone will be get specific notices in the mail as per all of that protocol. So all we're kind of saying right now is, hey, you know, there's enough concern there for us to say, let's go ahead and start this process and not wait 4 or 5 days to get exactly all of the specificity of every bit of information that may or may not have been breached at this point. So obviously, we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that we protect the citizens and their information. But just more to come, really. But what I said this whole time was when we reach that point, I want to say something about it. And that's what we did.
And just in case people haven't been paying attention to this, this has gone well beyond local law enforcement. This is now in the hands of FDLE and FBI, and this is a big deal, which means it'll take time, but it also means that they're really good at this. So,
That's right. And I want to say, we have people around the clock, including Chief Jenny Craner, who runs our emergency operations. When we have a hurricane, continues to be leading this, doing an awesome job. Our IT team's doing an awesome job. So, rest assured, hour by hour, we are on top of everything that we can do to get to a positive outcome.
Very good. I had a couple of questions from listeners I wanted to make sure to ask you. The first one is the post office downtown. People are really nervous about not being able to have a post office downtown. You have expressed in the past that you were kind of in negotiation, couldn't say too much just yet, but do we have any news or any prognosis for whether there will still be a post office service downtown?
The last update I had, which was a couple weeks ago, was a very positive one in a step in that direction. And what I will say, I can't, obviously there's private negotiations between buildings and leaseholders and the post office and things like that I would not want to, get in the middle of. But what I can tell you is, there's some minor concessions with, loading zones and parking and whatnot that I was brought in to be asked about. And of course, in my position has been, we'll do everything within reason that we can to make that possible. So I would imagine that all the parties involved should feel good about that in terms of where the city is. We'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of that is out of our control, but I continue to advocate. Because I agree. I think that's a huge value to us in the downtown area.
I also got a text in from somebody or an email, I forget which now, but said about Bayview Parking. Wanted me to ask you this. Did you know you have to pay at Bayview Park in the lot closest to the water and the pavilions? Not the lot by the boat ramp, but the other lots. The ticket attendant, I got a $25 ticket, they write. Says it's been that way for years, but they've just started enforcing it. Who knew? Anyway, I don't think it's right to make people pay for parking at a public city park. Can you ask the mayor about this? I thought the rule was, I had seen the signs and I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't think you had to pay there, but I still thought you only had to pay for the boat ramp spaces, the truck spaces. Do you have to pay for the other spaces too?
My understanding, and certainly we'll make sure from a signage standpoint, everything, that there's full clarification. Is the issue we run into is cars parking in boat ramp spaces. And you have to understand, people pay, not very much money, it's a very, very reasonable price, but people pay to use boat ramps across the city.
Right.
And so when it becomes boating season, when you park one car there, that's someone who has paid for that spot to use it. And so that was getting out of hand, especially in peak boat season, and that's what we were trying to enforce. I'm not aware of any car parking spaces where they charge, but certainly I'll happy to look into that further and confirm. Or if there's a sign that's causing any kind of confusion, we'll go out and take another look at that. But just understand, the intent is that people who are paying for those boat spaces should have the best opportunity to get them, not have someone who's using the playground or whatever take one of those, in essence, paid spaces.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sign, when I noticed it, was a little bit confusing of whether it applied only to the boat ramp or to the entire pavement all the way over to the community center. So I can see why people would be confused. Sure. And certainly if somebody got a ticket and they're not supposed to get a ticket, that's concerning as well. But yeah, get back to me and let me know what the actual the rule is on that, because I think that I would object to having to pay for all the parking, you know, the car parking. Well, you know me, my views about parking.
Sure, absolutely.
But yeah, find out for sure and get back to me. Mr. Mayor, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is you're bringing in a homeless consultant and going to help you kind of figure out what to do. And kind of when I saw this news, I thought, again, you know, we've had a lot of studies and a lot of consultants over the years. What makes this make sense?
Yeah, so let me clarify, because it's more specific than that. It's not homeless, just a consultant on the homeless. This is specific to an opportunity center, a low barrier. And this is now an even more pertinent conversation given the legislation that may be coming to the state with Governor DeSantis. So it's John DeCarmine, who is operating about a $4 million annual low barrier shelter operation in Gainesville. They've lowered homelessness by 40%. They've lowered visible homelessness by 53%. And so it's someone who's done it before. So this is this is very, very specific to this operation, of which the city has intended to use its final ARPA homeless reduction dollars on. So I'm glad you asked that to clarify. This isn't come in, give us sweeping recommendations about everything you do to reduce homelessness. We've got other channels that are already doing that. This is saying, hey, before we go spend money on a low barrier shelter and partner with the county and everyone else, let's make sure that our budget's right. Let's make sure that we right size it. And so this is someone who has done it before and has had continuity and consistency in being able to do that. So, so we have him coming in, and I think he's going to come in May 13th. I think there'll be a CivicCon too, to kind of talk about low barrier shelter, what it is, what it isn't. And so I know there'll be some public facing opportunity to hear him speak.
And what's the price tag for him?
I think it's about $9,000.
Okay. So it's a, compared to some other things, it's a fairly small thing, and it's very specific to this project. So that makes more sense.
That's
to me. I had not understood that it was that particular. Very good. All right. I have a weird idea. You know me, I'm a weird idea guy. And in listening to city council meetings, county commission meetings, zoning and planning meetings, my God, now I'm even listening to those. Here's a problem that I hear comes up a lot. I want to upzone this property because I have this project in mind. Well, once we upzone it for that purpose, we're going to have to embrace all the other purposes that the higher zone allows, and we're not really thrilled about that. Plus, what if you don't even follow through on your project? We like this project, but that project doesn't come to fruition. We sometimes do the upzone, and then we're just stuck with the zone change, and we didn't even get the project that we were doing it for. So here's my thought.
Right.
Why can't we do, and I know it's going to sound like spot zoning, but hear me out. Why can't we offer an exemption for a conditional use within a non-conforming zone for this project only and say, hey, we like this project, but we don't want to change the whole thing, and we don't want to carry entitlement rights to future sales or any of that, but we do like this one project, and we think this one project fits with the neighborhood. Why can't we do it that way, and what would need to happen in order for us to be able to do it that way?
Well, my answer is going to be it's probably spot zoning.
I told you couldn't say that.
I think obviously, you know, I would have to defer when we get really technical to Sherry and the Development Services Office in terms of every rule and why not. But what I'll tell you is a lot of what you're asking is why we're doing an audit and a potential overhaul of the Land Development Code as a whole, because there might be, to get to the same outcome you're talking about, there might be more clear and more equitable tactics of which to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it just, you know, Andrew, anytime you run into the picking and choosing winners and losers scenarios,
right,
you know, I want this and I don't want that for perfectly good reasons, it just opens up a whole another can of worms. Both, are we even allowed to do it? And then why did you let Andrew do that and not DC?
Mm-hmm.
And so, it totally makes sense if we said, hey, we want this one type of development and this would be huge for our tax base. Why can't we do it? That makes perfect sense. But it just, again, opens up this Pandora's box of other issues. So in terms of the technicalities of that, they would probably be able to better answer why or why not. But But what I hope is that we can start to solve some of those issues that gives us more flexibility that you speak of with an overhauled land development code for the first time in almost two decades.
Well, I would just, all I'm saying is maybe press, maybe ask attorneys or whatever, but something that, because it's always a that always comes up in these conversations, and it seems like there's got to be a way to avoid that problem that gives the, you know, council members comfort in making their decisions. Maybe you require a supermajority or even a unanimity or something like that. But it seems like something in that direction might be. But I know you guys are working on that, and I just wanted to bring it up as a, you know, crazy wingnut Andrew idea in case it can work.
We'll look into the McKay exemption.
Call it the McKay rule. I like that. All right. Yeah, we always like to end with frivolous topics, lightning round kind of thing. First question: did you ever in school have to memorize any poetry? If so, what poem did you memorize? Do you remember?
Was I supposed to, or did I? It's very distinct. No. Not that I can recall. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Catholic high school.
All right. But you do know songs. You know, you've memorized some songs.
Yes.
Okay. See, that's a poem. With music.
Oh, yeah. So, man. I mean, every, I went to Catholic school, every Catholic song that there is.
That's why we put music on them, because they're easy to memorize. When you go to Waffle House,
yeah.
We heard from Bert Thornton on the Jeff Bergosh Coffee with the commissioner, one of the, you know, Bert's Chili, right? Bert Thornton. He gave us his order.
Yep.
What's your order at Waffle House? How do you order your hash browns if you do order hash browns?
Oh, I definitely do. I always mess my words up with scattered covered dice, but I go onions and jalapenos, actually.
Okay. All right. Simplicity.
Smothered and peppered.
That is scattered and diced, I think.
Scattered, smothered, peppered.
That's Jake, who used to actually work a grill, so he's the one for sure to know. And last one is, Monday, in addition to being April Fool's Day, was National 1 Cent Day. Do you pick up pennies on the ground? Or what denomination of coin has it got to be in order to gather your interest?
Ooh, man, these days of inflation, you know, that number, that coin might be going up in terms of the use on my back. But I have a 9-year-old, so we pick up all coins.
Okay, I got you.
So that may not be me doing it, but
somebody
Caroline
does it
because
it's exciting.
Coins.
Okay. Oh, and since I got you, do you like April Fool's Day pranks, stories, or do you think that's a silly and ridiculous and something else?
Well, you know, I had the Trader Joe's one that people still ask me about from last year. I decided to skip. I couldn't come up with something that could match it, so I skipped it this year.
Yeah, sometimes you retire on the top of the hill. That's right.
No, I'm in for it.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, joins us every Wednesday. Sir, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to talking to you next week. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's always fun to talk to the mayor. Hey, if you're considering the prospect of getting a realtor because you're either going to sell a house or buy a house or buy another house or buy for the first time or wherever you're at on the scale, I mean, especially if you're selling, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 175 homes last year. That's about 3.5 a week. So they're, you know, they know what they're doing. And they are able to get you the best possible price, stage it properly, advertise it properly, promote it, you know, and know the little things that can make a big difference and, you know, setting the right price reasonable and then, you know, sometimes getting even above that. And, you know, in this market, you might say, you know, how well do they do? Still really, really, really well. But also if you're buying, you know, who do you want working for you in terms of, as a buyer? Well, somebody who understands the sales side, somebody who really understands what is a seller likely to ask for, what are they likely to accept, can you get any special deals, especially if you're buying a new home. You might think, well, I don't need a realtor to buy a new home, because the realtor can help facilitate the process with the builder, and then they can get you, for example, to buy down points off of your, I mean, like that kind of stuff that you wouldn't maybe normally know about or know what's in the range, they can really work for you, right? That's where Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty come in. 723-9158. Sit down, talk with her, and see if you don't understand the value that she might make for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gala Saturday at PSC. See UWWF.org for more information. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I got it. I know all those routines.
You Leo Getz?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's me, Leo Getz. Whatever you need, Leo Getz. You get it?
You know that one, Jake? I pulled an obscure track here. Sound familiar at all?
It's like if it's like if Def Leppard came out with a brand new record.
That's exactly what it is.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's brand new, but yeah, Def Leppard, Slang, and good. You have such a great music.
Wow,
here.
It's like DC Leppard.
I know, DC Leppard. That's right. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and occasionally musical. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
No, keep playing the song. That was good.
That was all cool. Right. Hey, all right, here we go.
There we go.
I know, right? That's exactly. Yeah. It's like DC Leopard.
Introducing me to some new things today. I like
love
it.
That. All right.
NATO is marking its 75th anniversary today. Ministers meeting in Brussels to talk about support for Ukraine as it fights the Russian invasion. Yesterday, NATO head Jens Stoltenberg said the alliance still needs to provide more military support for Ukraine, and also said Ukraine will eventually become a NATO member. A state lawmaker in Louisiana wants to change their rules for blood donation and force donors to disclose whether they've received the COVID vaccine. The donations would then be labeled differently in the state. The proposed legislation would allow vaccine skeptics to request blood from a donor that has not been vaccinated.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And.
Oh, my God.
Are they going to pay more for that? Because I got some blood right here.
Like, what? Oh, my God. I don't even know where to start. It's just so absurd.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of anything like that. And the White House now wants
I feel like people need to just go back to science school for, you know, a minute. Anyway, go ahead. Go on.
The White House now wants a unified standard time for the moon and other bodies in space. So apparently now NASA's been instructed to work with government agencies. They're coming up with a plan for what they're going to call the coordinated lunar time, and they expect to have sorted out all the issues for this by 2026.
This makes perfect sense. I mean, if we're colonizing the moon, you want to have a standard time reference for what time it is on the moon. Because, you know, you don't want to be calling grandma when she's on the moon and not know whether she's 2 hours ahead or 3 hours behind or, you know, whatever. So we just got to pick a time zone and go with it.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know why grandma's got to go to the moon, but, you know, if she's there and you need to make a call, you don't want the grandkids to be waking her up in the middle of the night or in the middle of her afternoon nap. You know, you got to know.
Just hope that call doesn't come in collect. Nice. Wait, does that even still exist anymore or am I?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
are collect calls still a thing?
From the jail
for prisoners.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think pretty much the jail is the collect call source. I don't think anybody else.
That's how Suge Knight has a podcast.
Because everybody else is just using your cell phone, and there's it's been so long since we had a landline. I don't think you pay Do you pay long distance charges on a land? Who knows? I got to think about this. 2005. It's been almost 20 years since we had a landline, so. bless your heart. If you do, you maybe know the answer.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.